Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Absolutely. Man, have we had some great weather or what?
Yes, we have. I mean, this is some of the best tailgating weather in the history of sports.
I'm telling you, end of October, man, we're breaking records. I mean, September, excuse me. Records, 90 degrees.
Did you check any of the high school area football games out on Friday?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. You know, we definitely we follow these big reds.
Did you have a coat on out there?
Man, I was sweating like a hog. It was hot.
So it was beautiful,
yeah,
man.
It was great. Like you said, tailgating weather, man. But it's going to change this weekend, which is going to be in the 70s, which is still great.
Yes, it
for
is.
October.
We need that.
But, yeah, man, I got a chance to watch those big reds again out at Reese Puffer, and it was not pretty. No. But, you know, that's how they roll.
Yeah, I see. Yeah.
You sign up for four quarters. You know, they don't stop the game at halftime because you're down by 35, 40 points. You signed up for four quarters, and that's what the big reds play for, four quarters.
Yep, and everybody want to go to college.
Yeah. So. And I've seen some skills that, you know, we got a chance to see some kids that don't play often.
Awesome.
But it's like, what?
They awesome, too.
These are backups. They could go anywhere else in the county and start, okay? But the starting lineup is so hard to break. But it's just refreshing to see the level of talent that this football program possesses. But, man, I've been loving my football.
Your kids are making major sacrifices. I know my Spartans got ate up by Notre Dame.
Ooh.
The first 2 minutes, it seemed like.
Ooh. I didn't see that coming. I didn't.
Me either. I thought we was going to do something.
I thought it was going to be one of them last-second field goals,
yeah,
man, would determine the winner. But
Notre Dame said we were better than what you thought. That's what Notre Dame
said. At Spartan Stadium, see. I kind of would have went that way if it was down at Notre Dame. But
yeah.
They showed up at Spartan Stadium, man, and put a whooping on them. But he's okay. He got a young squad. He's going to bounce back. Yep, they're going to bounce back. They got some games that they got on the schedule that they can redeem themselves. There wasn't a Big Ten loss, so, but just been great, great football and basketball. We have Carmelo Anthony going over to Oklahoma.
That's right.
Dwayne Wade is part of his contract. Oh, that's a done deal.
Oh, Cleveland. He going to Cleveland.
He going to Cleveland. He wrote him a check. He wrote a check to the Chicago organization, bought his contract out. $8 million. Yes.
Hold on. He wrote a check.
Dwayne Wade wrote a $8 million check to the Chicago Bulls and say thank you. See you later. So yeah, he's going over to the Cavaliers.
Chicago is not a good organization.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Michael just was so good that he had the issues he had with Jerry now.
I think you're right.
It's a terrible organization.
Yeah. Because where's the other guard at? Where's he at now?
Derrick Rose?
Yeah.
He's with LeBron.
No, he's not. Yes, Rose is also in Cleveland. I missed that.
Yes, you did.
So you
guess
got the Rose, D-Wade, and the other little guard.
Yes.
Isaiah Thomas sitting in the Cavs locker room. Oh, my goodness.
That's a potential. Those are all-stars. Derrick Rose averaged 19 points last year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In the triangle, though.
If he don't have to play, I think the problem with him at Chicago, man, he had to play too many minutes.
Yeah, he did.
And when you got a rotation like he will have in Cleveland.
He's going to be straight.
I think that's going to work in his
24
benefit.
24 minutes for Derrick Rose is 17 points.
Okay. That's right. Especially if he's playing against the other team's second unit.
That's right. Derrick Rose is still Derrick Rose.
I think so, man.
Yeah, I always liked him and just everything. And D Wade coming. That's a guard that can post up other guards.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Again,
15 minutes.
Same thing. Yep. You don't have to play the whole game.
He
can take that time off. So, and they got enough young players on that squad to help carry the load, man. Oh, wow. they might be owning something here
That's
in Cleveland,
squad.
Man.
That's my squad. So I'm happy for my boys.
Right. Yeah.
So they all right.
Yep.
I haven't wavered
That's
from
good. That's good.
I haven't wavered from LeBron. I followed him in Miami. I didn't like it in Miami. He felt like he was a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that villain
he's
stuff.
A villain, man.
Yeah, but he did his
thing.
But
he's back where he's – I think he's going to be there too. Yeah. You don't stay. That's yet to be seen. And we're going to make one more comment on sports. We're going to get in our show.
Yes, sir.
Because we'll be remiss if we didn't mention what took place over the weekend in the NFL.
Oh, yes. Taking a knee. Everybody taking a knee. The Dallas Cowboys. The
owner.
Owner.
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones.
Took a knee.
Miami. Who else? Several others. Jaguars.
Oh, I mean, a bunch of them. Okay. Actually, after the tweet from the president, when he said they should fire the SOBs.
Yep, that's it. And then your boy from the Pittsburgh Steelers, he ain't take his team out there.
Right. Thomas said, just don't go. We stay in the locker room.
He probably took a vote in the locker room. He said, we're not going to look like a separate franchise.
No.
So we're not going to – some of y'all going to kneel. Some of y'all got you for that. Mm-mm. All of us just take a stand right now and don't go.
And don't go.
That's illegal.
You know, sports writers have blown this, along with politicians, those on the right have blown this out of proportion. I don't think he ever intended to disgrace the American flag, the military, the armed forces. That was not the intent.
No.
And anybody that has any kind of social awareness understands the point that he was trying to make is that
for brown people,
when cops kill people in the streets that are unarmed, we need to say something about it. We need to do something about it. And he was just trying to bring attention to that scenario. But you got all the folks that took it as a disgrace to the flag, the armed forces, but that was never the intent. And like I say, when the president said what he said, you got to think of the connotations about SOB, all right? You got to know what that means.
I know. Look, and son then, of something.
Right, okay, which is a female dog, okay? And 99% of the players that participated in this were African Americans. It's deplorable that the president of the United States.
Every time minorities come up, even with Korea, but we're going to get into that after this, but he just, I mean, stupid. Has, man, what's wrong with him?
He has no filters, okay? He is just so used to being able to dog people out on all levels of business that he's, that his background is. He doesn't understand the human side of life.
So he's been rich, though. Like you said, he came in the game with $1 million.
Right.
His daddy gave him $1 million to start everything.
He'd never been pulled over. He'd never been, you know, shook down. He'd never been called names. Plus, his dad was a part of, you know, the Ku Klux Klan.
The elite,
his dad Secret was Society. Arrested at one time in a march. I was watching Rachel Meadows one night, and she showed all the documents to show that he was arrested in a Ku Klux Klan march in New York, okay? So we got to understand how
who we
raise your children under those kind of social, you know, adverse kind of situations, they're going to carry those through life. And that's all it is, man.
All the decisions going to be made. Like, even when he described the secret societies, he described, like, oh, yeah, those nice people.
Yeah.
They're just people that's voicing their opinion.
Right. So what are these guys doing? What were these NFL players doing? Need to fire them. Well, no, well, you just can't fire them.
You just
can't. And it just shows the level of ignorance that we have in that office, man.
Like, when he was at the United Nations, and they brought up Korea's ambassador was there, right?
The Korean, yeah.
Yeah, he said Korea, the little people. Korea. Them little people get their missiles out of here.
Right.
They're going to shoot one of our planes down.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Keep on acting a fool like that.
That's what they said they were going to do. And he says, we will wipe them off the face of the earth. And it's just like political rhetoric. They're sort of like, again, filters to that. You send messages without saying those kind of grotesque.
I don't think he has a vocabulary, because I remember when Obama did that.
Gosh.
And he made that in a snap of a finger. He came in the night.
Tweet.
He mentioned something. He was like, look, okay, we're gonna make sure ultimate force comes to your country if you don't do A, B, and C by this hour.
Right. He doesn't have.
He don't have the articulation. He can't articulate. He can't communicate. That can be a clear channel for clarity so that you can have some grace and say, okay, let's talk.
Right.
He don't have that.
No.
He'll lay it down, and there's no coming back.
No, he's demonstrative in how he speaks and how he treats people. And they even had one the other day that showed an excerpt where he was showed up at one of the hurricane zones and said that, you know, my wife really wanted to be here, but unfortunately she couldn't make it. Man, she's standing 2 feet away from the guy. It's on YouTube. You go ahead and Google and YouTube and realize that this guy is just out of touch. He didn't even know his wife was standing 2 feet away from him when he was giving a speech saying that she wished she could be here. And she looked at him like, what I got? What do I got? Yeah. Yeah, it was all over the news,
he
man.
He reading the speech off paper. That's what he doing.
Yeah. So
you saw he look. You saw he do his hands. He talk like a puppy. Like,
okay.
Instead of making his making his eyes go, he tried to distract him so he could read off the prompter.
Right. He can't. It looked like he needs some glasses if he can't read, man.
It just make our country look like we're illiterate. That's all.
But it just united the players, buffoonery, which was great. And we need to put this behind us. You know.
Yeah.
If you want to stand. If you don't, you don't. I don't think that determines your level of patriotism. But for whatever reason, that's how folks want to equate that.
Yes, sir.
But I don't. I think that was a part of the, you know, being American.
That's right.
Okay. Having the freedom to say what's in your heart, okay, without hurting others.
Right.
And I think that's what the whole story is, man. So
let's get into our show.
Okay.
Today, we're going to be talking about a windfall.
Windfall.
And windfalls.
Big paper. Lots of money.
We came across this topic. I had one of our managers from the team I was giving a ride home. He asked me to have a lottery ticket in my truck.
Okay.
I was like, no, I don't play the lottery. Right?
Right.
He said, Coach, you got a lottery ticket in this truck in this couch. I say, no, I don't.
He's seen the ticket.
I say, no, I don't. But I say, I do got one at home in a box that my wife bought me. He said, okay. I had a dream that you won the lottery.
Really?
I was like, you had a dream I won a lottery? He said, yeah, it was at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was going to call you or text you, but I know it was too late. So you know, I know you was going to probably wake up in the next hour because you was wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I didn't want to mess your sleep up. So I said, okay. So I go home. My wife did buy me a ticket September 23rd last year, right? So I tell her what happened. We go to Cold Stone Creamery ice cream shop. And she go get the ticket and make me cash it to see if it's a winner. So I start thinking. I said, what would somebody do that would have a windfall like that?
The lottery.
Yeah, okay. A lottery or like, you know, a settlement, an annuity, you know, some money, a trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's a windfall that's coming to your life all of a sudden. To me, I mean, I know we were talking this previously, it's got to be 5 times my annual income.
To be considered a windfall.
For me.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
It can't be no 12-12 straight.
Right.
$5,000, $25. That's not a windfall.
That's not.
That's a bill. That's a clean. That could pay off a bad debt or something.
Okay, it's some mad money.
A small vacation, you know.
Right.
Down payment for a nice, a decent car or a small home, something like that, or pay some bills off. But that's not a windfall for me.
No. No, it's not. Not like we've seen in, you know, the recent lottery winners, who, you know. And we know there's a show about the curse of the lottery. Have you ever seen that on TV?
I've seen
a lifetime, I think.
Yeah, people that win the lottery and they lose everything they got.
And their life becomes just a wreck.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a scenario. Here's a scenario. The scenario is somebody makes, let's just do that per capita income. The per capita income in Muskegon County is about $19,000. We say county.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to certain cities, it's smaller. So when I say per capita, it's family of four. So we talk about $19,000,
right.
Okay?
On average, right.
On average.
Yep.
Now you got this person that's at a per capita of $19,000. That they roll into a Mega Millions ticket, probably $292 million.
Woo! Okay.
So the mindset you got at $19,000, you about to take the $292 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's way more than 5 times a month. What's the first step a person probably going to do that make $19,000?
Decide on what they're going to buy.
Okay,
it's a spending mentality. You're not looking at what can I do to make sure that I don't have to work ever, if I don't unless I want to, and my children's children don't have to work.
Because if you've been living off $19,000, your whole life on a per capita, we know it's bumped the number up to about $30,000, $34,000.
Okay.
That's a decent wage.
Yes, it is
in our county. Mm-hmm. Right, it's a decent wage. So you're making that $30,000, $40,000, and you've been making that for the last 10 years.
Okay.
So you say.
You got $400,000, basically, for gross income over that period of time.
That's right. So you're not seeing $400,000
last
10 years.
Yep.
Okay. So you're not seeing $400,000. Now you've bumped up to $292 million.
Okay. Which, depending on how you take it, Well, you could potentially get only half of it.
If you just get a tax early.
Or you do, if you annuitize it over 20 years, you divide that 200. So that's about, just rough math, that's about $20 million a year. Okay? So that $20 million going to be taxed differently, because the other one is going to be taxed like you earned all that in 1 year. Okay? Which, that's why they're going to take half. But if you take the annuity part of it, where it's spread over 10 years, you take $20 million. So you have a better opportunity of doing the philanthropy part of it and give away a certain amount of it to reduce the taxable income. So, but still, we're talking $20 million if you take the annuity. $20 million a year.
$20 million a year.
All right.
So you're looking
after
at that.
After taxes, 15. Yep. They're going to take $5 million to take 15.
So then when you look at that, so that's an option. But then you look at other windfalls, like say somebody leave you a trust and inheritance.
A life insurance policy of $200,000, yep. $250,000.
And those are the average numbers, like $250,000.
Yes.
And what I've looked at in the research that we have, I've seen that $70,000 is a typical number that somebody will probably have as a windfall. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I agree with that.
So it's $70,000 when you look at, when I said per capita, 20 times 5, you're around that number, 70, 80,000. So now you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You done reached this number. You're like, I got five times the amount I made in a year.
Right.
And one time. So you got 5 years of salary at one time, and you still got your job.
Okay. So now what do we do?
Man, let's go get a Cadillac, Tony.
The biggest one they make.
Man, I got to, man.
The biggest, shiniest one they make. All the bells and whistles.
$86,000 at the dealership. It's $86,000.
Yeah, if that's the top of the line, that's what we want.
All I'm worried about is my note. That's
right.
What I need.
No, we don't have no note. We paying cash.
But we're going to buy the car.
We're going to buy the car cash.
Oh, man, all my money gone.
86 grand right there off the top, gone. All right, now we got to go buy some jewelry, because we got to look good when we're driving in this almost $90,000 Escalade. Okay. Then we got to probably buy some new furniture.
Yeah, new furniture.
Okay, we got to furnish the crib out. And before you know it, you'll be looking at, where did the money go?
You got some nice stuff.
Yeah, and I know people that $350,000.
At the insurances.
This is a lottery. Okay. This is a lottery winner.
So you had lottery winners from some of your former clients.
$350,000. Yes, sir. Broke. Gone.
That's a windfall. Okay. They fail.
Yeah. Yeah, they fail. And it's like, you just can't talk sense into them. Because, of course, everybody in the family has a story for you. Okay, as to why you need to give them some of that money. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm not giving you any money. Because if I had not have won this money, you probably wouldn't even be having this conversation with me.
That's right. And that's what I look at. That's how you evaluate everything.
Yeah. So this is what you do. This is the smart way to do it.
Okay. Because I got a plan to see what your plan is.
Before you cash the check or the ticket, if that's the case, you sit down with your financial advisor and a tax expert.
That's it. That's the exact advice you're supposed to take.
All right.
That's step one. Before you even cash the check.
Don't even cash that bad boy first. Put it in a safe deposit box at the bank. Leave it in the house. You know, take it straight down and put it in a safe deposit box. Talk to these individuals about where you are in your life financially, okay? Where your immediate family is at, which means your wife and your children. Not no cousins and best friends, none of those people, okay? Then you talk about what you want to, the next 20 to 30 years of your life to look like, whereas you won't deplete the money you want. Let's look at how I can take this money and earn additional income and maybe really maintain my standard of living to a degree.
Right.
Okay. So I want to look at 20 to 30 to 40 years out of having this money available to my family members. Okay. That's the smart way to do it. You don't go buy crazy stuff that you wouldn't have bought unless you had that money.
Yep, you're right. Okay. That's the first step. Step number two is this. And I always look at this, and in the past, when I didn't know about debt and credit, I looked at it differently. When I got some money, I felt like, all right, I'm good. I got these bills. I'm just going to buy the stuff I want, and I put the minimum payment on the bills. Mm-mm. Now, if you fall into a windfall, the best thing for you to do is to pay off all your debt.
Pay them off.
So then you don't owe nobody.
Nope. Clean slate.
So even if you got a windfall to the point where you're like, all right, oh, this and this and that, and then you still got your living salary.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I got my job still. I got this savings. But I got this money that I just paid off all my debts.
Okay.
Do you know what kind of mindset you can have being debt-free? What ideas you can come up with and think about?
A real simple one is this. If you can take $15 million and get a 10% return annually on a $15 million investment, do you know how much that is?
Right. I got an example in my book. You said $15 million. I got an example that says.
You can live off that money, Chance.
In my notes, look, I got an example that says $292,000, right?
Okay.
An investment that earns an 8% annual return will be worth more than $1.4 million in 20 years.
Okay.
That's me. So you got all this money. You just put $300,000 in an 8% return. 20 years later, you got $1 million. So if your family.
Doing nothing. Yeah, that, you know, just.
If your family wants something, you could have gave them that $300,000. But then you're like, no, if y'all wait. When you retire from your job, I'm gonna have a big surprise for you.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you live retire? On? You retire, I'm gonna take care of you.
Right. We're gonna start a family business.
That's right.
Okay. We're gonna start a family business because I am not gonna spend the principal. We're gonna use the principal to generate income.
So we can build this company.
Okay. $200,000-$300,000 a year of income.
Not everything is written off because now you're using the interest to run your business.
Okay. That's why that tax.
Still sitting there.
The tax expert is there.
Yeah, come on. He's going to set you up. The tax breaks there too.
Yeah. He's going to set you up. You're going to do an LLC. You're going to separate.
Hybrid nonprofit.
Okay. You're going to separate your assets from the business. And we're going to learn how to make money with the money that we've got. We can spend it. Don't take a smart person to spend money.
So that when you look at the interest on some money like that, we looked at what? We looked at the windfall of $200 million, right?
Well, if you do a 10% on a million, that's $100,000.
Every year?
Every year.
So that you're returning $100,000 to run a small business.
Yeah.
So if you got, well, I look
so
at
So you're 15.
Yeah.
You're a million and a half.
You got five employees.
Yeah, you got a million and a half income.
They
man.
Can work part-time for that $100,000 business.
Mm-hmm.
And you can manage that business with $100,000 and that $1 million still growing.
Right. Don't touch the principal.
So then now you're generating a whole other income, and then that $100,000 you just made to generate the business is written off too.
Right. Cause, but guess what now? If we're going to use the same scenario about the next year, remember, because you've annuitized those winnings.
That's right.
So the next year you get another lump.
That's right. It grow bigger.
Okay. And you're going to go with the 10% earnings, so you're going to get another million and a half in income, and the principal stays there. The principal is never touched.
Yep, every year.
So now you have $30 million. So
and now the interest is growing again.
Yes, sir. So now you're bringing in, you're getting $3 million a year just in interest income. And the $30 million still sitting there.
Man.
Okay, that's how you do a windfall. You do not spend it. You use it to make you rich over and over again.
And you just brought the third pointer. The third point says consider dollar cost averaging. That's what you just said.
Right.
And it says, with this strategy, you invest a given amount on a regular schedule. Then it says your fixed amount of dollars will buy more shares or interest, and then the fewer prices are high. And if the market turns down, upside down, you'll have more money. So when you're looking at the interest or an investment, because you know you got some of them that you can have an annuity where you can invest in stock also.
Oh, yeah.
With your investment.
Yeah.
And you say they promise a return at a certain percent.
Absolutely.
So you're like, I'm getting that 10% return even though I'm investing in these stocks.
Yeah, potentially more.
More, so, right. I mean, but they say they lock it in with those ones that say they're guaranteed, the mutual funds, the different ones. Because the more money you have.
The diversity is there.
Yeah.
I mean, when you got that kind of money, the diversity is there. When you use the proper train of thought, the process of saying that I'm not going to squander the money, I'm going to use the money as an investment tool.
Yeah, because I said a windfall to me is five times my current income right now.
Okay.
So if it was me audience and I came into a windfall of a large amount of money, I would sit down with my CPA and my accountant and my mentors and say, all right, this is what we're going to do. I want to make my income five times the amount.
Okay.
That's the first thing. I want to try that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then I got $292 million.
Yes.
So I'm five times the amount, but don't. Make it a 1 year to 5 year goal to get me to the five times the amount.
Okay.
So 1 year I'm double. Second year I'm triple.
Yep.
Third year I'm quadruple. Then I'm quintuple. I'm like that.
That's it. Exponential growth.
Yep. So now I'm at five times the amount, but then I got a big old salary over here that's $200 million off this windfall of this investment that I had. And I'm looking like, oh, I still got that? Mm-hmm. But now my income is five times the amount as 5 years ago. So the little car that I wanted, I bought that in the first year.
Okay.
The house I wanted, my income tripled in the third year. I got that now. So it can happen if you do it in increments.
Right.
You can please your needs and your wants. Okay. But you got to be able to say, okay, this is what I have. And then when the old CPA them tell you, say, you can play with this now.
Mm-hmm.
But let's play with it in this way. We're going to grow you in a 1 to 5 year goal. And let's see how you handle it in that fifth year, and we'll see what else we can do after those 5 years.
Okay. That's just smart money management, man. But let's be real about the fact that the folks that are listening will probably never have that opportunity. Okay, hitting the lottery is what? Like being struck by lightning twice. Man.
You get hit by a car before you hit by the lottery.
Okay. But I think it's good to just have that kind of an exercise.
That's right. But everybody have a windfall. So I said most windfalls would be what?
Like we say, the 70,000.
Yep, five times your amount.
Yep. You might get a lawsuit.
Yep.
A work comp case, whatever. Fact of the matter is, whatever that is, please use the mindset of not spending it all. I think that's the theme of the story, is look for ways to grow the money. And, of course, you're going to have folks coming after you with all kinds of get-rich schemes, but you got to be very diligent in listening to people, even for these small windfalls, okay? Because they'll nickel and dime you to the point you be broke. Yep. And you got to know how to say no. It's okay. No is not a bad word.
10,000 is nothing. 50,000 is nothing. It go fast.
It really does. But I think, again, the point is that if you do get any kind of a windfall, do not use the mindset of spending it all. Because it's easy to do, you know. Look at it as a way to secure your future and your family's future. And it means maintaining the same standard of living. Unless you're dirt poor, living in your car, it's a whole different story. But if you've had, if you worked and attained some level of financial security and success, don't be so quick to move out of that area when you get that windfall. Maintain that area. Like you say, take care of some debts. And just, have a more comfortable lifestyle.
Right. Yeah, if you're looking at it and just seeing, especially if you've been working every year, you go, if you got a job that had an IRA or a 403B plan or a pension, you got that. That's
right.
There.
It's there.
That's half your income when you retire. That's right there. So you look at that, you're like, wherever you at right now, if you all of a sudden like, I'm done. So when you get retirement age, you're going to get half of that as your income. That's money that you're going to be able to have every month.
Every month.
Till you die.
Yep.
If you were one of those people that was tenured that had that.
Right. You was fortunate enough to have a defined pension plan from your employer.
I had mine. So if I leave my job right now, that's there when I reach a certain age.
You're vested.
Yep.
And you get most companies say if you've been here 10 years, whatever that
top number
pension
was.
Pension is, you get that.
Yeah, whatever that top number was, I get half of that.
Right.
Whatever my last salary was when I was on a pension.
Social Security.
Yep.
Whatever that's two that checks. Might look like. Yeah.
I'll take it.
First and the 15th.
That's right. That's what they say. speaking on that stuff, we got a project coming in October. Tony been working on a project. It's called Good for Nothing.
Good for Nothing.
Good for Nothing.
How did you come up with that name?
Man, I was, I've been telling you, I've been looking at these things and like, how can I use the Bible to be able to be principles on financial prosperity? And I was like, so I'm listening to Brian Tracy. White guy that's a motivational speaker, he says he was doing some speeches. And his first speech he did, the guy approached him and said, yeah, look, he flew somewhere. And they was like, yeah, we want you to knock their socks off. There's about 5,000 people out there. But, we don't have no money to pay you now.
Okay.
And he said, he looked at him. He looked at the crowd. He's like, you want me to be good for nothing, huh?
Right.
So when I look at the essence of it is saying nothing. That, naming a book that title, I thought about a lot of times we do stuff that's worth nothing. And we think we can get some good out of it.
Okay.
Like squandering investments.
Okay.
Not paying our taxes or not doing the due diligence or tithes, most importantly.
Yeah.
And our money not serving the right principles and purpose for the things that we're trying to manifest in our life. So when I said good for nothing, I mean like everything that we do is for the good, you know?
Yes.
God has got to take it to a new level on the good of it. So when we talk about a windfall, my first thing is I'm paying my tithes.
Okay.
After I meet with my team. I got to do that.
Right.
So, but I'm not playing the lottery, so most times it's going to be an investment for me. Okay. Or somebody going to leave me some, or some book sales, or something going to happen. So when you look at that, you're like, okay, that's the investment. So Good for Nothing is just the principles that we're going to be sharing. That's going to be some biblical principles. And we're going to tie it into what's going on in the world, and we're going to use those to make a great connection with our community. It's going to be the second week of October to pull you in. So the title is Good for Nothing. It's a pretty sweet book cover. we're going to have it on the 103.7 The Beat website for you to check it out. It's going to be questions in the book. We're going to ask them. We're going to really preload this because what's coming up is Black Friday. What's coming up is the holiday season. And I don't want my people in my community broke. I just
right,
don't.
For a certain time of the season.
Yeah, but I don't want them broke. No. This is the fourth quarter of the year, and I want people to go into January 2018 ready.
Right.
And it don't take a new year's resolution. We're going to use a three-month period of our shows to break them down, Tony, on investments, insurance, credit, and debt. And we're going to use Good for Nothing to be explicit.
That's
with
right. Because what we do, we hope what we do, what we're doing is it's good, right?
That's right.
But we get nothing for
it.
We don't get paid. This is our service to the community.
Yep, and even the book's gonna be a token where you can probably help the next group of kids go to Africa. That's what I was thinking.
Right, help.
So it's gonna be proceeds an investment for those to build that. But it's also gonna be knowledge for people to say, hold up, these people do hold the resources that can help me take a next level in my life. So also it'll be an open door so you can have a conversation with somebody that's been through some of those experiences or can make some of those connections for you. So that's what it's Good for Nothing. It's a serving a purpose in our community because it's biblical scripture, because it's 2,000 scriptures about money, and it's 18 out of 36 parables that's talking about money. And money is the least in the Bible.
Got to make that connection.
But you got to make a trust in God. What seeds have you sown that you expecting things? You can't expect nothing if you never sowed anything.
Thank you very much.
You can't expect nothing good without giving something that's the least, but you think it's a lot. Money's not a lot.
No,
in the kingdom.
I don't even think they use it in the kingdom.
Man. They talk about it. David, you know, David, when he built those palaces and those gold floors and everything, they say they tried to make it to the equivalent of billions of dollars that he saved up over those harvest seasons
right.
to build for God.
Yeah.
You know, those temples. So you look at that, you're like, wow, he did it all for nothing? It's like, you can't even see him. Like, so just imagine.
Right.
He sold a seed for some great things for a great king. So, that's that project.
Yeah, this is going to be exciting.
Yes,
it is. Looking forward to it.
So we still got the project coming up. I'm going to check it out with my buddy Norm. We said we're going to share it every show because it's about the fathers and about embracing our community. It's coming up. It's on
October 28th.
October 28th, and it's in Muskegon Career Tech Center. And it's all male role models, fathers focused. Free event, lunch provided, vendors available, limited space. And it's a keynote speaker named Cole Williams coming. And you want to text, join CBG74C to 81010. And it's a September 2017 Fatherhood Summit. That's what it is. And it's a breakout session. Here are the topics. Father's rights, understanding your right as a father. Presenter Jason Walker from the Friendly Court.
Okay.
Nurturing fathers. Fathers are nurturers. Presenter Timmy Smith. Son of an absent father. Breaking the Cycle of Absent Fathers, presenter Cole Williams. Co-parenting, Putting the Child First, presenting partners, Norman Young and Tony. Advocating for Children with Autism and ADHD, a presenter Maggie Foster. Because what they're doing right now is they're taking all the kids that's ADHD and they're getting ready to shift them to autism.
Okay.
So they're trying to lump them in with the kids from the suburbs so they won't get labeled so much.
Right.
So that's a big thing that the government's getting ready to do. They're like, we're tired of labeling these kids. So they ADHD, they must be from an urban community.
Right.
So medicate them this way. No. Treat them like they got autism so they can give them the therapy.
Okay.
Give them the meditation. Give them the yoga. Give them the nutrition.
Okay.
Instead of just medicating our kids. So this is a big event in our community. Come check it out. It's October 28th.
That's awesome.
Major event. Starts at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Career Tech Center by MCC. That's where that's at.
Right, give his number in case they want to get signed up and let them know.
Oh, again, if you want to enroll, it's text. It says CBG74C. Text that to the number 810-10. Again, it's CBG74C. Text it to 81010. So that's something that's big. It's for Fathers Matters, and we're trying to get our fathers involved in the summit of 2017. That'd be a great thing to take into your new year. So your money and your fatherhood is very important. Next thing I have is our MBK Michigan Summit in Lansing, October 7, 2017, from 9 to 4 p.m. I'm going to this. I'm taking some young brothers with me in Lansing because I got the whole idea of my brother's keeper from Lansing, my friend Angela. She works with TJ Duck's organization. She mailed me these flyers. If you're interested in going, you can email her at angela@onelovegobel.org. It's lunch going to be served. It's free. MBK community updates, breakout sessions, free public event. Registration opens at 9 o'clock, breakfast and lunch. I'm telling you, these are things. See, my brother's keeper is a structure, Tony, okay?
Okay.
Now, when they say it's a structure, it teaches kids about political power, about finance, and about education. Because there's some of the things that we're focusing on the community, reading initiatives, business, entrepreneurship, and political. Being able to register to vote, being able to run your own business, the things we do in our same community, and just being able to empower them for literacy.
Good.
Those are three pillars. And Obama just adopted the My Brother's Keeper initiative and brought. I knew that was going to be his baby.
Okay.
That's his thing that he's taking in as his signature.
Okay.
So he took a hold of it all the way. And this is a summit I think everybody needs to come to. And that's October 7th from 9 to 4 at Lansing Community College. Again, it's angela@oneloveglobal.org. I'll be there. I'm going to fill my truck up with as many young brothers as I can.
Awesome.
From our organization. I'm taking them down to hang out with my Spartan crew.
Okay. All right.
So that's great. It. So I think good that's stuff. Our show. We're going to have, we got Good for Nothing coming up the second week of October. We said some other events. Today we talked about the windfall.
Okay.
If you win it, don't fall.
Don't fall.
Call your team. That's what okay. That's what call our brother team. Tony Williams said. Call your team.
That's right. We'll help assemble the team, baby.
All right. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.